My guests this morning are Sister Antoinette Purcell, who is a Benedictine sister from Beech Grove, Indiana. And Sister Antoinette is on the telephone with us this morning. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning.
Also, we have in the studio with us the Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Wilmington, Ed Gordon. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Bob.
Welcome to the program, both of you. Today we're talking about an effort that the Religious Education Department is putting together to bring Lectio Divina to the Diocese of Wilmington. And the big question is, what is Lectio Divina? Sister Antoinette, you want to take that question?
Oh, I will be happy to take that question. And I hope I can do justice to the answer in a brief but hopefully a concise way. Lectio Divina is actually a very ancient tradition of reading and praying with a scripture that was actually used in the early Christian centuries. Being a Benedictine, it's even talked about in the Rule of Benedict, which was written in the 6th century. Wow. So it's been a part of our Christian monastic heritage for all these centuries. In the early days, it was basically reading the scripture of the day or of the time and sharing that with, doing it alone, but also sharing it with other groups of Christians as they reflected on the Word of God. Later on, and probably around the mid-centuries, around the 12th century, so forth, around the time of Scholasticism, they got a little more technical and actually put the style of Lectio Divina as a way of prayer into a more formal kind of way of looking at it, with four types of movements, I suppose you would call it.
Mm-hmm.
And as good Latinists would have, we would have Latin words for those, of course. Lectio Divina, being Latin, means basically sacred reading. And the four movements that were identified were Lectio, which is the reading part, Meditatio, which is the reflection part, Oratio, which is a responding part, and Contemplatio, which is the resting or contemplation part of it. Mm-hmm. Now, other authors, as through the years and through the centuries, who have kind of worked a little bit with this form of prayer, have put in other words and ways of doing it and things like that. And so there's a lot of flexibility to it. It's not a hard and fast that it's only this way that you could pray when you do Lectio Divina. And so I think that's one of the things that I like about it the most, is that it's creative, it's responsive to the Word of God, it's alive, it's dynamic, it really, you know, it's like getting in touch with the Scripture for what it was when it was spoken and written, but also what does that mean for me today, and how is that alive in me and in our world and in our time. So I think that's in a nutshell. Did I say enough, or you have some more questions that came out of all of that?
Well, yeah, I do have a question. It sounds kind of complicated to me. Is this complicated, or is this something that the average person can use?
Oh, very much the average person can use. It's not complicated at all. The history of it is complicated because mm-hmm. it's been through so many centuries, and so many different authors and theologians and practitioners have added to it and looked at it from this way or this angle or this perspective. And that's what makes it sound complicated, but it really isn't. It's very simple. It's basically just reading Scripture, reflecting on it in light of what was really said then and how does that apply to me today, and then responding to that. How does that Scripture passage, what does that create in me that I want to respond, either in prayer or in action? And sometimes it's just simply walking with that word, whatever that is, for a while. I'll give you an example of my own life. A few weeks ago, I came across the passage in one of Paul's letters that said, "You are God's field." And I was really touched by that phrase. For some reason or other, it had never struck me before. But that image of being God's field, and particularly maybe it's because of this time of year where you see the fields all ripe with harvest and knowing that the harvesting is coming, I was really taken by that image. And so the contemplation for me wasn't just sitting with it in a quiet place. It was kind of walking with that image. And I've been walking with it actually for about 3 weeks, the same image, of picturing if I'm the field and God is the farmer, then, you know, the farmer has to plow that field, which means that soil gets turned over. And if I'm that field, I'm not sure I like how that plow feels when it breaks up my soil. And so just some of the images that go with that and how that applies in my own personal life for you know, what needs to be plowed up in me and brought to light so that it can be fertile for growth. You know, does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So just a kind of one example anyway, you mm-hmm. know, of how I practice it myself.
How is this used, sister? Is it used by people in religious communities? Is it used by lay people? Is it used on an individual basis or in small faith groups? How is Lectio Divino used?
Actually, all of the above.
Uh-huh.
There's a number of religious communities that use Lectio Divina as a basis of their prayer, both private and in group. For Benedictines, it's been a hallmark that's been, because it's written about in our Rule of Benedict, that's been pretty much our heritage all along. But there's other religious communities, too, that have taken it up in more recent years because they see the value of it. We do it personally in the community, but we also have some little groups within the community that like to get together and do it in a group. So it's done both ways. We have been teaching it to lay groups for a number of years, out in parishes particularly. Sometimes at our retreat center we have groups coming in where we do a retreat on Lectio Divina and they come in to learn it. So there's, in more recent years, I think there's been a lot of lay people that have been picking it up because they just see it as such a viable way to really pray with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working in the diocese here in Indianapolis, back in the 1980s, it was very popular with the groups that were catechumens. You know, mm-hmm. as the catechumens would come together on Sunday and meet with the Scripture while the rest of the congregation was going through the Eucharistic prayer, many of them were using a form of Lectio Divina for that faith sharing and Scripture sharing.
Terrific.
It's been, it really has been, like I said, all of the above that you mentioned, mm-hmm. lay communities, religious communities, individually as well as in groups.
Mm-hmm.
Done both ways.
In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and my guests this morning are Sister Antoinette Purcell, who is a Benedictine sister of Beech Grove, Indiana, and Ed Gordon, our Director of Religious Education here for the Diocese of Wilmington. And we're talking about Lectio Divina. Ed, how did you get interested in Lectio Divina, and why are you bringing it to the diocese?
Well, I got interested in it because it is, for me, one of the very fruitful ways to, for me personally, to engage the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if we look back over the last several years, Pope John Paul II, in a number of elocutions and speeches, had recommended it for the Church as a whole. And Pope Benedict has followed up in several of his elocutions and letters to also recommend it to the Church. As a matter of fact, he said he thinks if people did it, it would bring a springtime to the Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then our own bishop, former bishop, Bishop Saltarelli, in his apostolic or episcopal letter on the year of Paul, had also picked up Pope Benedict's request, and he had requested that we do it.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's talking about it, but I wasn't sure who knew what it was,
right,
and how to do it. Even though it's simple, as Sister Antoinette has said, it's still something that it's better to have someone show you how to do it.
Right, rather than read about it in a book or
that's
a manual,
right,
or something.
That's right. Yeah. So what we decided for this year, which includes the year of Paul, and the year in which the bishops of the world are getting together for the synod on the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church, and it's also the theme for Catechetical Sunday, which took place 2 weeks ago, that this would be one of our primary efforts in this coming year. And so we've decided to take an approach that is a train-the-trainer approach. So we've asked all of the parishes and institutions of the diocese, as a matter of fact, we've invited them to send at least two people who would be interested in learning the technique, the process of Lectio Divina, and would be willing to go back and help other people in the parish learn how to use this same process. So we would hope that it would become a process that would be used by parish councils, by committees, certainly by catechists, but anytime people gather in the parish, that they would use a form of Lectio, which can be quite simple and not take hours to do, but also would learn how to teach people how to do it for their own private growth and development.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps where some of the parishes have study groups, Bible study groups, they could use this as part of their own process.
And I understand that Sister Antoinette is, and a couple of other sisters from Beech Grove, Indiana, are actually coming here to help us get this established in the diocese. Right, Sister?
Yes, that's correct. Sister Julianne Babcock and Sister Anna Marie Magel are coming along with me.
And you'll be giving these presentations throughout the diocese.
Yes. I'm leaving all the details of how that gets set up and worked out with Ed. Of course, he's taking care of all of that. So we're just going to show up and go wherever he sends us.
Ed, tell us about that, about the meetings that your presentations that you have set up.
Well, we have them these sessions scheduled throughout the diocese from Friday, October 31st through Monday, November the 3rd. And we've tried to schedule them throughout the diocese. We have two sessions in Spanish, one in the north and one in the south. We have some during the day, hopefully that some of our clergy and pastoral staff might be able to attend, as well as people who are not working during the day. And then over the weekend, we've got a number of programs scheduled, again, throughout the diocese, and we'll be publishing this in the Dialogue. On Saturday and Sunday, and then a daytime and an evening one on Monday. So we've tried to give people a number of opportunities to participate in this and learn the process.
And those folks who are invited to these presentations are mostly come from the parish, and then they'll go back and they will train people in,
sure,
in their area on how to use Lectio Divina in their prayer life.
That's right. In other words, we've asked the parishes to invite at least two. Now, some parishes are sending five, six. There's no limit to the number of people that they can send to this.
So if our listeners are interested in this, they don't necessarily have to come to these meetings that that you're putting on, but unless they contact their parish and perhaps volunteer to be a trainer, but they should have at least somewhere going forward, either during Advent or sometime thereafter, have an opportunity to learn this spirituality in their own parish.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Advent, and one of the reasons that we've placed this these training sessions where we have is we felt that people have a tendency during Advent to want to do a little bit more, to pay more close attention to the scriptures, perhaps, and that if we would do this at the beginning of November, it would give the parishes time to set up some opportunities for people to actually experience Lectio in Advent. And the scriptures are so rich during Advent that it's a wonderful time to begin something like this.
Sister Antoinette, we just have a minute or two left. If our listeners are interested in learning about this method, Lectio Divina, you know, perhaps they can't come to one of these meetings, or maybe they're not involved with their parish, or maybe they're not Catholic, but they want to get some more information about what we've been talking about this morning. Is there a particular book or website or something that you would suggest that they go to start?
Well, there's a number of books available. One of them that I know that Ed is going to be sharing with the participants, and I certainly would highly recommend it, is called Conversing with God in Scripture by Stephen Binz. B-I-N-Z is the last name.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they go to Amazon.com and just put in Lectio Divina, and I'm sure they'll get a whole lot of resources because there are just a plethora of them out there.
Right.
So.
Great.
And they're very readable. Stephen Binz's book is especially readable and really gives it a nice format.
I think I've interviewed him on this program before. I don't think it was on this topic, but it was on another topic.
Well, sister, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us, and we'll see you in the end of October, early November, when you come to our diocese to help us learn more about Lectio Divina. And thanks, Ed Gordon. Thank you for being with us this morning on Catholic Forum.
Thank you,
Bob. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.